Hello, this is Todd Starnes. I have the privilege of being the lead pastor at Odessa First Assembly, and this is our podcast. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope you enjoy this message, and I pray the Holy Spirit ministers to you. Remember, Scripture tells us in Philippians 2:13, "For it is He that works in us to will and to act according to His good purpose." And I pray that that work begins in you today.
Isaiah 43, looking at verses 18 and 19, it says this: "But forget all that. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. For I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you see it? I'll make a pathway through the wilderness. I'll create rivers and a dry wasteland." And as I read that, I do want to skip up and just, it's not really a part of the sermon, but when you read those words, "but forget all that," forget all that. What is that, "but forget all of that"? Well, he's referring to a few verses above it, and I want to look at those two. I can't remember if they're going to be on the screen or not, but it's beginning in verse 14, and it says this: "This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sakes, I will send an army against Babylon, forcing the Babylonians to flee in those ships they are so proud of. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel, Creator and King. I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves, and they drowned, and their lives were snuffed out like a smoldering candle wick." And then the Lord says, "but forget all of that." And in that passage, 14 through 17, there's so much happening that I don't think I could really dive into appropriately, but I'm going to just kind of maybe give us a synopsis. There's something you ought to understand, is the Babylonians at the writing of this are not in rule. See, Isaiah was known as, a lot of theologians, they didn't know how to classify Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet in the Old Testament. And they didn't know where to put, was he a prophet of hope? Because there's so much he prophesied, so much about the birth of Jesus that we just celebrated that Isaiah prophesied about. But he also had rebuke and prophesied some very difficult things to hear for the children of Israel. But one thing we do know, what a lot of people call him, was the eagle eye prophet, because of how clearly he saw things in the future. And when he is talking about the Babylonians here, they're not even in rule yet. Do you hear me? It's going to happen 200 years later that this is going to happen. And so here's what I want you to understand, is that what is the shift that is taking place is the children of Israel. Now, for about, there was David established a kingdom. Then, a few generations down, the Israel split into a northern and southern kingdom. And then the Assyrians came in and took over the northern kingdom, conquered it. And then the Babylonians came in and took over the Assyrians and the southern kingdom. And so that's kind of how that's working. And we're talking in hundreds of years, all this is happening. And so, but what Isaiah was saying is that you're going to be in a place of bondage. You're going to be in a place of difficulty. That's what's being said right here. And before they're even in the place of bondage, Isaiah is saying, God's going to set you free from that bondage. And then there's something else being said here. You remember what God did in the past? You remember your ancestors coming out of Egypt, and they're getting to the Red Sea, and the Egyptian army was coming in behind them, and so God used Moses to split the Red Sea, and the children of Israel crossed on dry ground, and then the Egyptian army came in behind them, and God closed the sea and killed them all. These are some pretty fantastic, significant things that are happening or going to happen, and God says, "But forget all of that." So here's what I want you to understand. Number one is this, is that God is always up to something. God is always up to something. I love the way that John Piper says it. He says it this way. John Piper says, God is always doing 10,000 things in your life, but you may only be aware of two or three of them. I think that is a great statement, because so many times we think that God is not working. And what you need to know, that God is always doing something far beyond than what you can see. You see, God was giving Isaiah a vision of what was happening in the future, and he was reminding them of what happened in the past. God is always at work doing something. I know you may be in a place that it doesn't feel like that. I know maybe that, you know, when we say forget all about that, you're like looking at 2019 in your rearview mirror, and you're like, I want to forget about all that. I understand that. And what Scripture is telling us, yes, you need to move to a place where you move beyond the past, whether it's been bad or whether it's been good, because God's up to something. God is up to something in your life, in your family's life, in your workplace. Does anybody hear me this morning? God is up to something for your 2020. It's already been at work. He's planned it long ago before you even thought of. God knew what he's going to do for you in 2020. Praise God. You see, God is sovereign. He's arranging, shifting, causing maybe you to be late to work to avoid the wreck. I mean, you never know what God is up to. God is making things happen for you, even when you don't see it, even when you don't hear it, even when you can't feel it, even when you don't know it, even when you don't believe it, God is working. He's up to something. Even if it's not evident, God is up to something. You see, God is sovereign. He sovereignly reigns, which means he reigns independently from any influence or any source. God does what he wants to do. In Proverbs 1:21, it tells us the king's heart is like a stream of water directed by the Lord. He guides it wherever he pleases. Psalm 115:3, our God is in the heavens and he does what he wishes. Psalm 135:6, the Lord does whatever pleases him throughout all heaven and earth and on the sea and in their depths. And this is not like a God that is, psychotic or out for your demise. This is on your behalf. What pleases God is to make you whole. What pleases God is to bring healing to your life. Do you hear me this morning? What pleases God is to forgive you of all of your sins and to cleanse you of unrighteousness. What pleases God is for his power to be at work and do a miracle in your life. That's what pleases God. I mean, when I think about this, God answered prayer that you haven't even prayed yet. God has given miracles that you don't even know that you needed yet. When Isaiah was talking about that, about the Babylonians and these ships they're proud of, hadn't even happened yet. God's already answered your prayer and brought your miracle. Wow. God has turned the light on where you didn't know that you needed to give you the direction. One of my favorite scriptures, 1 Corinthians 2:9. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. And what's significant about that verse to me is, I mean, not, it's more than just what my eyes have seen that it's greater than, or my ears have heard that it's greater than, or my dreams. But it's past tense, prepared. Nothing takes God by surprise. He's always up to something. He's a millennia ahead of the enemy. He's an eternity ahead of the enemy. What the enemy has tried to bring into your life, God's already saw it long ago before the creation of man, and he's got the answer for you. Where you see no way out, God's already been to your future and taken care of it. Maybe I need to say that again. Where you see no way out, God has already been to your future and taken care of it. Where you see no way out, God has already been to your future and taken care of it. God is always up to something. Number two is this. Don't let the past determine your future. In our scripture, we say, forget all that. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. Whatever bad's happened in your 2019 or before that, whatever good has happened in your 2019 or before that, God's got something better. That's a good place. Tap your neighbor on the shoulder and say, God's got something better. Come on, look at somebody. Look at your other neighbor and tell them, God's got something better. God's got something better. Unfortunately, we are able to, we are not literally able to forget everything. So when it says forget all, I mean, You know, Paul wrote about it too, forget what lies behind you, but press on. And I think there's a very significant meaning here. It's not talking about forgetting things at a whim. We're not able to do that because there are things embedded in our hearts and etched into our memory in so many ways. And I'll tell you this, if you carry pain or hurt or broken heart from anything in the past, you may not forget. You know, when God heals us and he mends that broken heart, you may not completely forget of that evil that thing done to you. But I'll tell you this, God always can heal the pain from it. God can always mend the broken heart from it. And we say this so many times. I know a lot of ministers and churches say this, but just remind yourself that your greatest hurt so many times can become your greatest ministry. I mean, the Israelites, we should write down, and it's not like just clearing out of our mind every good thing that God. Matter of fact, I encourage you, when there's a breakthrough and God does something good, write it down so that you can remember it. But what does it mean to forget all that, to forget the past? I mean, what God is telling us is like, don't let the past determine the future. Don't allow your past experience, those former things, both good and bad, to color your perception of what God will do for your future. Are you following me? I fully understand and I believe the scripture that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when I look at that and I realize that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, what that also means, if he's that same God, then he always finds a new way to do something. Are you with me? There had never been a virgin birth before, but God did something new. There had never been tongues before, but God gave us the day of Pentecost. I mean, that God does do old things new ways. Do you remember the account of your ancestors' bondage, Isaiah? Yeah, I sent Moses to deliver the children of Israel, but I got something better. Do you remember how I parted the Red Sea and they crossed on dry ground? Yeah. Listen to what God's saying. I got something better. Do you remember how I killed the Egyptian army that chased them in on that dry ground? Yeah, I got something better. The Bible tells us, now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we ask or think. God is always up to something, and God always does more. Why? God may want to do more. He can do whatever he pleases. God may use different means. God may want to do better than what you think can be done. If you're holding the hurt close, you're pushing the healing away. If you're dwelling on the struggle, you're missing what God is trying to do in you through the struggle. If you're holding on to the used to's of how God did things, you'll miss the gonna's of how God's gonna do things. Number three is this. God is speaking. This is going to sound, this may be difficult to hear. Just prepare your heart a little bit. Are you ready? You ready to hear this? God is speaking, just not on the same level where you are. And what do I mean by that? You know, when we look at maybe I say it this way. It's not the same frequency that you've been listening to. The Bible, you know what, of course, we looked at that verse a few moments ago, 1 Corinthians 2:9, for ear is not seen, nor ear is heard, nor is there in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. And then in verse 10, it picks up and it says this, but it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit, for his Spirit searches out everything, and God shows us God's deep secrets. Now I'm going to try to read it again right. Verse 10, but it was to us that God revealed things by his Spirit, for his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. What's the power of truth? What does truth do? We shall know the truth, and the truth what? It sets us free, John 8:32. He will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he's heard. This is the Holy Spirit at work here. He will tell you about your future. You see, God will move you from feeling to faith. Here's what I mean that God is speaking, but maybe not on the frequency you're listening to. See, what happened, I remember, the way I don't describe it is this way. I remember I got saved, right? I got saved. I gave my heart to the Lord. God's doing a work in my life, and I'm grateful for that. I mean, I'm 20 years old, and I'm in this whole, even though I'd grown up in church, I mean, I have this whole new experience and encounter with God that, I mean, it was a personal thing. It wasn't my mom's thing. It wasn't my grandmother's thing. It was my thing. It was my relationship with him. And so that opened up a whole new level with God. And I remember when I would feel God, that still, small voice. Do you know what I'm talking about? You know, God speaks to us into our inner man with that still, small voice. If you know what that voice sounds like, it's that voice that when you're on the phone with somebody and you're about to gossip, and in the back of your head you hear, don't say that. Amen. Or, you know, I didn't even catch the whole story. I just kind of like... I mean, Shayla was talking about when she was a little kid and we'd go to camp, and there was this, we used to eat at this barbecue restaurant, the Ponderosa. They're in Dickens. I know it's a big city. If you haven't ever been to Ponderosa, it's awesome, especially the ribs on Friday. I may do that the Friday after the 21-day fast. Now I'm thinking about it. I've already got my meal planned out after the 22nd, I guarantee you. But they had this thing of gum, and Shayla always talked about that. She thought that gum was free. And so when she's all the years we went to camp, she took that gum, and I'm like, we got to go repent. What? I'm joking. But anyway, but you know, sometimes, you know, before you're about to do something or take something, I mean, we hear that voice on the inside, don't do that, don't say that, don't act that way, apologize for that, you shouldn't have said that. That's that still small voice. And I remember when I first became in tune to that still small voice, especially when it came to preaching or giving a word of some sort, man, my heart would start to race and just pound, and man, it felt like my heart was going 150 beats a minute. And I would use that sensation and think, okay, God is about to do something. God is about... Have you ever had like an anticipation in service when you knew something significant was about to happen and you get the goosebumps? You know what I'm talking about? Or maybe the tears start flowing. You see, but if you put God in a frame that has to happen for God to say something or do something, you'll never mature beyond that point. Are you following me? Because we don't walk by sight. We don't walk by feeling. We walk by what? By faith. What the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so we, at times, have to step out in faith to bring pleasure to God. And so us as Christians, that's how we grow and have spiritual maturity in our life, is that God stirs in us, and maybe we're locked into the tears. And I'm going to tell you something. Maybe some of you, before I even move on beyond this, I don't want us to do a broad brushstroke, but some of you've had eyes that have been dry for too long. I mean, you really need a softening work of the Holy Spirit to overtake you. And those are wonderful moments. Wonderful moments. But it doesn't mean that's the way that God will always do it. I remember that first time I had to step out of obedience. I thought it was different than what, I mean, my heart wasn't racing. I wasn't sweating. My palms weren't sweating. But yet I had this knowing in the inside of my spirit of something I was supposed to say. And it took me a moment to get to that place of obedience, because I thought, but my heart's not racing. Do you understand what I'm talking about? And so when you look at your life, so many times we get stuck where we are, and the maturity process is because God's trying to lead us, but we're stuck. I'm okay right here, God. I'm saved. I know I've got this pull to maybe volunteer here or do that or love on that person. I'm okay right here, God. You see, but if you'll take that step, God's got greater breakthrough for you. God's got greater victory for you. And sometimes, listen, don't stone the messenger. Sometimes it's that transition of the habitual lifestyle of sin. See, God's trying to bless you. God's trying to bring breakthrough for you. But if you won't give up the affection for sin, there's a barrier and God can't do it. But if you'll come out of that, your ears will open up and your heart will get tender and you'll feel and know that drawing and working of the Holy Spirit again. And you'll start living by that Galatians 5:25. If you're going to live by the Spirit, then keep in step with the Spirit. When He leads you out of that mess to move forward, then get out of that mess and move forward. But forget all of that. Move forward. Some things we have, what we're looking at this morning. God is always up to something. Don't let the past determine your future. God is speaking to you. I want to rephrase point number three just a little bit as a recap. God is speaking to you in terms of where He is taking you. Did you hear the difference? Isaiah 43 in a way is repetitive. So these points are just a little repetitive. My last one that I want to talk to you about this morning is number four is this. Don't define your future by your past. I know number two was just that of don't let the past determine your future. But listen to me. Don't define your future by your past. Define your future through trust in God. See, the Bible says this when we read that scripture. It said, I will make a pathway through the wilderness. Can I get a good amen? Amen. I mean, doesn't that sound great? But you do realize that to get a pathway through the wilderness, is a light bulb going off for anybody? You got to be in the wilderness. I mean, at first our heart like leaps. Yeah, I'll make a pathway through the wilderness. Wait a minute there. Hold on. You mean I got to go through the wilderness to see the pathway open up? I'll create rivers in what? A dry wasteland. Wait, hold on. You know, take the spurs off. I'll make a pathway through the wilderness. I'll create rivers. Here's what God is trying to do and to work in you different maybe this year than what you've ever experienced before, is that you can be in the place of the wilderness. You can be in the dry wasteland, but still know the bounty and the power and the life-giving Spirit of God at work in your life, in your heart, and you overflowing with streams of water that bring life to that which is around you. Maybe instead of getting clean, even though the battle, and I know for some of you, it has been terrible. It's been tough. It's been difficult. It's been a lot of pain. But if you'll give it over to God, He'll give you the way through and the way out. If you'll give it over to God, He'll make you a spring of waters whose waters never fail. That's what the Spirit of God does for us. In Isaiah 43, when we look at the very beginning of the chapter, I started thinking about this. I should have just done a whole series at the beginning of the year in Isaiah 43, just verse by verse in the chapter. But I want to read verses 1 and 2, Isaiah 43, 1 and 2. But now, O Jacob, this is before our text. Listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you. Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. See, if we were to translate that over in the New Testament, it would say, I have saved you. I have made you whole. I've brought you out of that bondage. I broke the chains for you. I released you from the prison. I released you from the darkness. I paid the bail with my blood. I took care of it. Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. Listen, I have called you by name. You are mine. Oh, you are not just some mass humanity for God. He knows you. I said, he knows you. Matter of fact, the Bible says he's inscribed us on the palm of his hand that we would be forever before him as a remembrance. God knows you. Fabian, God knows you. Tanil, God knows you. Brother Paul, God knows you. Sister Marta, God knows you. He knows you. He knows you by name. He knows the hair on your head or lack thereof. He knows you. He knows you. For I have ransomed, I've called you by name. You are mine. You are mine. The enemy no longer has claim on you. The enemy no longer has ownership of you. I want to preach a sermon. Devil, your request has been denied. Listen to this. Not if, verse 2. I know, I wish it said if, but it does not say if. Verse 2 says when. When you go through the deep waters, I'll be there with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. See, what can be different for you in 2020 than maybe what's ever been ever different for you in the past is that when you're in the middle of the fire, the middle of the water, the middle of the trouble, the middle of the desert, the middle of the wasteland, which you will face this year. I hate to be prophetic like that, but there's going to be a struggle happen somewhere, somehow, some way. When you're in the middle of that struggle, you don't get anxious. You don't get overcome by fear. You don't get overcome by worry. Do you hear me? Because God's going to make a way through it. God's going to give you the sustenance that you need. He's going to give you the spring of water that you need. He's going to give you the breakthrough that you need. He's already got the healing in store and plan. He's already got the breakthrough in store and plan. He's got it prepared for you. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor is it in the heart of man of things that God has prepared for those who love him. What's the qualifier? Love God. Love God.
I hope and pray that this message ministered to you today. Remember, if you would like to see what's going on or want more information about us, just go to OdessaFirstAssembly.com. And of course, you can find us on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. God bless you.